We're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 5. Actually, we're going to refer to it, and I'll summarize Nehemiah 5. It's a lengthy passage, and when you approach the Old Testament, oftentimes there are, because there's stories, there's long passages that convey a small amount of applications, and so it makes it difficult to read in a timely fashion a passage that does that. This is one of those passages that does that. Now, spoiler alert, does anybody know what spoiler alert means? Okay, I'm going to spoil the plot of an entire movie for you, but it's been out for 6 years, so you've had 6 years to watch it if you haven't watched it already, and it's called The Greatest Showman. Anybody ever see that movie, The Greatest Showman? Okay, it's about P.T. Barnum and him going through whatever he did through, and he developed the circus, and it kind of follows his life. But the narrative is he had a family, he had a wife and two daughters, and they were not doing well financially, and he was a dreamy person, and he really wanted to find a way to provide a very good living for his family, especially that his wife came from wealth. So she knew wealth, his in-laws were wealthy, and he wanted to be able to give that to his wife and to his children. And he was trying all different ways to try to make that happen. And eventually he landed on creating the circus, and it succeeded. And he was chasing down that success more and more until at some point he began to see problems in his family, because he was so focused on the circus succeeding and gaining the wealth that he wasn't enjoying his family like he wanted to and what he was setting up that whole thing for. And he sang a song called From That On, and in there he said, I forgot who all this was for. And it's interesting how we can get focused on doing things in our lives for great reasons, and they have value and they're important for us to do. Just like last week we talked about our need to build the wall. You remember that? We have a calling in our life. We have purposes that God meant for us to fulfill, purposes that God has put on our heart. And they could be a lot of different things, creating a good marriage, creating a good home life and a household and children and such, financial things, business things, ministry things, all kinds of things that we can endeavor to do, and we can forget why we're doing them and just get caught up in that we achieved it, but do we care about why we achieved it? And in this passage, the Israelites, and Nehemiah is leading them, they are building the wall. And the reason why they're building that wall is to glorify God and protect the people that are inside that city that the wall is protecting. And in Nehemiah chapter 5, what happens is, as they're nearing finishing the wall, some of the Israelites come to Nehemiah and point out to him that some of the poor had been taken advantage of by the others, and they were being used in various ways. It sounds like even in a slavery-type scenario, they were being used. And Nehemiah was incredibly upset, and he began to confront it, and he publicly confronted it, and he called together an assembly, and they dealt with it. Nehemiah even pointed out that was the reason why he wasn't taking certain financial privileges that were available to him, because he knew of the hardship financially that the people had. And he was frustrated that he was making those sacrifices, and here are other people taking advantage of the situation. And thankfully, the people responded positively, and the situation got resolved. But here we have, we're building this wall to protect us, and we're tearing each other apart on the inside. And there's many times that we can do ministry work and then mistreat the people that we're working with or for. There's times that we're trying to be a good spouse and yet still have a very bad heart about it. Have you ever been trying to build a good relationship with someone, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a child or a parent or a friend, a coworker, trying to build a good relationship with them, and then they still don't reciprocate? And then at some point you walk away saying, why am I even doing all this stuff? I'm trying to sacrifice. I'm trying to do all the right things. I'm putting up with all that garbage all the time, and still, they're treating me like this. And when we blurt all that out, we actually demonstrate why we were building the wall. We were building the wall for our own comfort and fulfillment and enjoyment. How many good things are we doing? Good actions are we doing? Fulfilling the purposes of God in our lives, but we're completely missing the reason why we're doing it. The reason why we do ministry and all of those things, it's for the people. It's to glorify God and to bless the people. But what are you living for this morning? Because our call is, and mind you, that when we get into chapter 6, you know what they did? They finished the wall. Okay, so they still, even though they had to deal with this issue, they still got back to finishing the wall because it was important to build for the safety and protection of the people. But they had to make sure that they were getting first things first, that they knew what was important and what was valuable. And treating others well is what we're supposed to be doing. That's not always easy, is it? It's hard to treat people well, especially those that are difficult and mean. And anybody have anybody like that in your life that's difficult and mean and frustrating? Okay, even that person we're supposed to treat well. But why? You ever asked yourself that question? Why that guy? Why do I have to treat him well? Well, Nehemiah, and as well as some other passages in Scripture to build some foundation around that, and you have those in your outline, will demonstrate for us both the why and the how. Why are we supposed to treat others well, and how are we supposed to go about doing that? So the why is we are a part of each other. In verse 5, the people said this. Listen to this. Now our flesh is as the flesh of our brothers. Our children are as their children. Now there is something, and I don't even know if I can communicate this effectively, because there's such a distance between us 21st century Americans and the ancient people of the biblical times. They lived in a completely different culture. They saw the world way differently. But there's also a vast difference, because there's people in the world today that aren't as distant from these ancient people as we are. And that is that there's a Western way of seeing the world and there's an Eastern way of seeing the world. And I don't know if you know this, but ancient Israel was in the eastern portion of the world, and they see things similarly, the ancient people did, to the way eastern people see things today. And I'm not talking about Asia, although Asia is included in that sphere, but the entire eastern sphere of the globe, eastern civilization, and it's okay. Eyes on me. The eastern side of the globe is that they understand that there, to some extent, there's no such thing as just me. Is in that we belong and we are a part of the entire civilization. You see, us as Americans, we tend to see things as individualistic. You know, this is what I do in my private life over here, and whatever I do in my private life over here shouldn't be anybody else's business, and it shouldn't matter to anybody else. That's a very Western and American way to view life. That's not the way that the Bible actually tells us to view life. We are a part of one another. And the way you take care of yourself in your private life affects everybody around you. You might not be able to see it all the time, but it affects everybody. Your physical health, even. If your physical health is poor, it affects other people. They can't rely on you for certain things because of your poor health. Now, does that mean that you're doing something wrong necessarily? No. Although if you're out of shape because you're eating all kinds of garbage all the time and you're not taking care of yourself and you're smoking and you're drinking and you're doing all those things, well, then maybe it is partly our fault, right? Anybody care to say that you have some health issues and they are partly your fault? Okay, thank you. Yes, I could put myself in there. All right. And we might say, what does that matter to anybody else? It's my body. No, we belong to each other. And the way I take care of myself spiritually You know, what does it matter to everybody else if I'm not being consistent in my Bible reading and my prayer life and all of those kind of things? It's me. What does it matter to everybody else? It matters. What does it matter to everybody else if I don't come to church or I don't come to church very often or consistently? It's me. It's my choice. What does it matter? It matters because it affects everybody. And they were saying, we are, our flesh is their flesh. Our children are their children. I don't understand how they can treat us this way because we're the same. And so when you look at that guy or that lady that drives you crazy, and you want to, that person who cuts you off, you want to, that customer service guy that's not giving you the answers you want, or whatever, that salesperson that called you out of the blue, and you want to say some choice words to them, remember, their flesh is your flesh. If you harm them, you harm yourself as well. We belong to one another. It's why 1 Corinthians 12:12, Paul says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We are a part of the same body. It's why he also explains in Ephesians 5, he says, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I want you to listen to this for a moment, because I don't know if we catch this. When he's speaking of marriage, he's only using it as an example, though it includes that, but it's bigger than that. Listen to this line after that. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. It's not only the husband that belongs to the wife and the wife that belongs to the husband. It's I belong to you, and you belong to me, and you belong to the person sitting next to you. We belong to one another. So how can I treat anybody else poorly when they are a part of who I am? And if I understand that, then I will know why I should treat other people well. I also should treat other people well because of the connection between God and his creation. You have people in your life that you love, correct? And you say you love them, and you demonstrate your love towards them. Now, if you found out that they bought a brand new car, they've been saving up for a long time to buy this car, and they got it, and anybody had known someone who had a specific kind of car they wanted their whole life, whether it's some kind of sports car or whatever, and they finally managed to get a hold of that car, and I want you to think about this for a moment. For some reason, you decided when your friend got that car, you found the nearest baseball bat you could find, and you bashed in the windshield, and you started beating down that car. What would you begin to question? How much you actually love that person if you could destroy the thing that that person cared so much about? Or has anybody ever made artwork? Painting or sculpting or sewing or maybe you work with your hands, carpentry, or things like that, and you created this beautiful thing that you spent. Or if you've ever watched, anybody ever watched NCIS? Have you ever wondered when Gibbs was going to finish that boat he was making? Okay. All right. But could you imagine someone saying they love Gibbs and they walked in and started tearing down and burning up that boat? We would begin to question how much they love that person. Because how could you say you love them if you're destroying the creation, the thing that that person cares so much about? You wouldn't do that. But who is God's creation? All of us, every human being that you encounter is God's special creation. Even that jerk that lives across the street from you. Even that person that cuts you off. Even that family member that drives you crazy that in a few weeks you might be eating dinner with, that person is God's special creation whom he loves. And if we say, I love God, but we treat his creation like garbage, we need to begin to question how much we actually love God. That's why James says, how can we say we love God, but we hate our brother because it doesn't fit. And if we understand that and we see that, that's why in Matthew 25, Jesus says in verse 40, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. That's why when Saul at the moment was persecuting the church and Jesus approached him in Acts 9, he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So when we mistreat in any way, no matter how hard or how soft the mistreatment is, when we mistreat other people, whether they're following Jesus or not, we are mistreating God. We are demonstrating that we have a lack of love for God. So when we wonder, why should I treat that guy? Well, because he is God's creation. And if I understand that, there should begin to be a motive for me to love everyone, to treat everyone well. Why else should we do that? Well, in verse 9, if I miss some of the references, you see them in the outline. I missed the Nehemiah reference there for letter B there. C, because of our influencing the response of other people to God. The way you act influences the way other people in your life choose to respond to God. And if you weren't participating in our Wednesday discussions, you missed this part of the conversation when we were talking about how to defend our faith. If you've ever thought people are asking me questions about the Christian faith in the Bible and I don't know how to answer those, then you should join us on Wednesday night and gain some of that insight. Not that we talk about that specific thing every week, but we were working on that last week. And if you've encountered people who are rejecting God in different forms, whether they've chose to be an atheist or they just choose to not be a part of what we call religion, 9 times out of 10 people are doing that because they were traumatized at some point in their life or someone they care about was traumatized and they're taking it out on God. And what were they traumatized by? Another person. Even at times when the trauma came from a person who wasn't even claiming to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter if they know you're a Christian, if they know what church you go to. It doesn't even matter if you are a Christian. The way we treat each other impacts the way other people respond to God. It's why Nehemiah said in verse 9, when he prayed about, or when he was confronting them about their mistreatment of one another, he said that we need to do this to prevent the taunts of the nations of our enemies, because they're going to respond a certain way based on the way we treat each other. It's why in Romans 2:24, it says, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, because of the way we treat each other. It's why Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And we can influence people for the negative, or we can influence people for the positive. Have you ever encountered someone that their countenance, their attitude, their outlook, the way they interacted with you just made you feel great? In fact, it might even went beyond that, and it made you begin to think, there really is a God. Because how can something that lovely, that nice, that sweet, that kind exist apart from a God creating that kind of thing? We can drive people to the Lord. We can drive people to trust Him. We can drive people to get serious about their walk with the Lord, about getting into the Word of God, about praying and seeking Him more and living out their purpose in life. We can have that impact by the way we interact with one another. And we might think, and I was met with a pastor friend of mine earlier this week, and we were talking about how many times we affect other people's lives, positive or negative, but in this context we were talking positive, and you die never knowing the impact you made on other people's lives. And it goes both ways, positive or negative. I got saved when I was 18 years old, but when I was around 10 or so, we lived across the alley from an old lady who was a Christian, and she was also a grandmother, so I don't know which one motivated her, grandmother or Christian, but she had a lot of toys in her backyard. She didn't have kids living in her house, but she had a lot of toys in her backyard. And she was always welcoming all the neighborhood kids to come into her backyard and play on her toys. She was making cookies for all of them, giving out lemonade and inviting them to various church functions. And I did not get saved directly at that moment through that woman's ministry. But I know and I knew when I got saved that that was one of the thoughts that came back to me. And that woman, I've never seen her before, and likely she's not here anymore because that was 30-plus years ago. She died never knowing the impact that she made on my life, and now I stand before you as a minister. And she never knew that just being friendly to the neighborhood kids led to that. And we are impacting people all the time, and we are influencing their response to God. So why should I treat that guy over there who doesn't even know me well? Because of all of these reasons I just said. Because they belong to me and I belong to them, because they are God's creation and I'm influencing their response. And if that's not good enough for you, then I have a self-seeking, self-interested reason why we should be nice and kind to one another. All right? You ready for this one? Nehemiah, when he was doing all the right things, he said to the Lord in verse 19, "Remember my good, O Lord, all that I have done for this people." Now, why would he ask that? He asked that because he knew that when he stands before God for his judgment, one of the reasons he's going to be judged is on how he treated other people. And he's saying, "God, right now I'm doing the right thing to your people, so this should be a good thing for me when I'm facing your judgment." And to expound upon that, Matthew 25, again, Jesus says, "Then he will say to those on his left at the judgment, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they all with answer saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.'" Every social interaction that you and I have, we're going to be judged for. And for good reason, because we could be impacting the eternal destination of the person that is before us. There's a reason why we should be judged for that. And if we want a good judgment, anybody prefer to go to hell for all eternity? I don't want that. I don't know about you. Anybody prefer to go to heaven and have less rewards for some reason? I don't want that. I tricked some of you. Anybody prefer to go to heaven and get all the rewards that are possibly available for you? I'd rather that option, okay? So when you get ready to tell that guy off, when you get ready to flip your lid and lose it on that person, and full disclosure, I have lost it before in my own personal life as well. But when we do that, we should ask the question, do I really want to stand before the Lord and have to explain this? Because I'm doing this to his special, beloved creation that is a part of me. There is no separation between me and them, and I'm influencing their destination in response to God. Wow. Our encounter should look significantly different. That's why Peter wrote, 1 Peter 3, 8-12, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this you are called, that you may obtain blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good of days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." Now listen to this. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." And what is the specific and good and evil that's mentioned there? The way we treat one another. Very, very significant. It should completely change the way we treat one another. Even that, because again, and not that there's never a time to confront and deal with an issue and work things out. This is not what that's talking about. Not that there's never a time to create boundaries. But we have to remember that Jesus said that even the Gentiles love those who love them. But we are to love our enemies. So again, this doesn't just include the people that are nice to us. This is the people who we can't stand to be around. That's the person that when we go to the judgment, God's going to ask, how'd you treat that guy? And I hope that we made the right choice. That's the why. Now, how in the world are we going to do this? How are we going to pull this off? What am I supposed to be doing? Well, the first thing I need to be doing is serving others, doing things for other people. And there's times that we have to pray about our heart and deal with our heart. Do you ever do the right thing, but on the inside you're like, I don't really want to do this thing. I'm doing it, but I just don't want to do this thing. But I'm still going to do the right thing, but I just hate every bit of it. Anybody ever been there before? Okay, we have to deal with that, and we have to work that out and ask the Lord to help us and hash that whole thing out internally and externally. But at the same time, we'd still do the right thing. So you don't feel it on the outside, you still do the service that you're called to do to your husband, to your wife, to your children, to your parents, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your boss. Ever feel like not doing what your boss is asking you to do, especially when he's not looking, because of the lousy kind of a boss that he is? But that's not the way Jesus called us to behave. I'm supposed to serve him well, even when he doesn't deserve it. Because the way I serve him is the way I'm serving him. And so I need to serve others. Verse 18 of our text. Yet for all this, I did not demand the food allowance of the governor, because the service was too heavy on this people. Nehemiah chose to not receive the financial pay that was actually due to him because of his office, because of the burden that he would lay on the other people. He served them. Galatians 5, 13 and 14 says, through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Ephesians 6, 7, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to men. If you ever wonder what to do about the way we treat others, do nice things for them. Do service. Do the things that we should be doing. Secondly, I need to care about injustice. In verse 6, Nehemiah, when he heard what was happening, he said, I was very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. He was upset that other people were in a bad space. And in our day, when we can see through the news and through the internet everything that's happening in the world around us, we sometimes become callous to how sad it is. That take, for example, Russia and it's Ukraine. The horrible conditions that many of those in Ukraine were and I think still are living in right now, that should bother us. When people in our lives, when people of different races, people of different gender and ages are being mistreated because of the category that they're in, that should bother us. In fact, it's why Micah prophesied, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. It's why Paul would instruct in Romans 12, 15, to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. It should bother us when people are hurting. It should bother us. But it shouldn't just bother us, because the bothering is supposed to be motivating us to do something about the poor conditions that other people are in around us. Nehemiah didn't only get upset about it, but in verse 7, I brought charges against the nobles and the officials. He did something about the issue. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9 says, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Not only should we care, but we should do something as well. We should be involved in righting the wrongs that are around us. Now, I know we can't fix everything. And I know that we don't have an endless supply of time and resources, and that's why at times we have to say no to doing certain things. But we should be doing something for the needs that are around us. And lastly, we should influence others. Verse 7 and verse 12, these lines, I held a great assembly against them, and they said, we will restore. He did not only confront them, but he got a bunch of other people to join him in the confrontation. He made sure that this was a communal thing, that all of us need to address this, and everyone stepped forward. And the people who were doing the wrong, he persuaded them, with the help of the Spirit, he persuaded them to start doing the right thing. That's what we're called to do. In fact, we can add to that Titus 2:7, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, or 16, Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We need to be the most influential people there are on the planet. And when I say we, I mean us, the Christians, should be the most influential people on the planet. If we're living our lives tucked nicely in our comfortable corner of the globe in our little house, and maybe even sometimes in our own little church, and we're fine in that comfort zone, and we're not going out into the world and influencing other people, then we're missing the thing that God has purposed in our hearts to do. And if you want to find fulfillment in life, if you want to find purpose, that's where it is. Touching, influencing, and impacting the life of another person. And not just, well, I said all the right things and I presented all the right truths, and so therefore, you know, I don't care how they respond. And that's the hard thing with evangelism, is we know that, are we responsible to save a person? No, we're not responsible for their response. We're not responsible to save a person, but some people realize that, and they take that to mean that we shouldn't care about what their response is. We should be concerned about the people in our lives, and there is no greater joy than having a positive impact on other people. And it's why you think about where a lot of your scars in life that still affect you today are. A lot of them sit in your childhood and in your adolescence. And it's why Jesus tells us, may I borrow Melissa? Thank you. Now we'll see how long she likes this. It's why Jesus tells us to take great care of these little ones. And that's why I believe he said, whatever you do to the least of these little ones. But I think sometimes we forget that every one of us started here. And deep down inside, every one of us is still a wounded child trying to figure out how to make it through this world. Even that lousy person who mistreats you so much. Even that spouse of yours that maybe you're feeling bitter towards over the last few years. Even those children of yours or those parents of yours. I know I have a lot of great things up here. And so when we get mad at that person, picture them like this little one. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come up here to lead us? And if you begin to wonder, why is it that I'm not making the impact that I'd like to make on other people? I'm building the wall. That's right. I'm doing all the right things. I'm doing all the actions. But for some reason, nobody's coming along for the ride. I'm not influencing anybody. And ask yourself, why am I building? Am I building for my love of people? Am I building for all the right reasons? Or is something else starting to grab a hold of my attention? Maybe I started with good intentions, but somewhere along the way, I started building for the attention that was on me. I've had people at times walk away from ministry because they weren't getting enough attention or being treated a certain way. We don't do ministry for our own gain. We do it to serve others. So as the worship team leads us, is there something that needs to get right in our hearts so that we're in the right position before the Lord? Because I don't know about you, but I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, when I stand before the Lord. And not that I did not feed, give drink, or serve those that are around me. If we need to get some things right this morning, even bitterness and relationships to other people, let's let the Lord change us so that we can be what we're supposed to be. Amen? Come and seek him this morning. If you could, for a moment, just bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Because I sense in my spirit that there are those who have heart things, relationship things that they need to deal with, but for whatever reason didn't come forward to the altar. But I don't want to miss an opportunity for you to deal with that this morning. And so if that's you, would you, heads bowed and eyes closed, just raise your hand and indicate that that's you. I have a relationship issue. Good. I have a heart issue that needs to be worked out. Good. Anybody else? Come on. Good. Good. He sees these hands. Good. 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 Heads still bowed, eyes still closed. Now I encourage you going forward. There's something special about coming forward to the altar before others, that the Lord tends to respond and do something when we do that. And so I encourage you, if he's convicting you, climb over people if you have to, but get down here, deal with that. But there is still a second best, that it's okay if you didn't come. He can still touch you. He can still get rid of the bitterness that is in your heart, the unforgiveness or the confusion or whatever it is that you're dealing with. He can take care of those things. And so let's right now turn those to the Lord. Just lift your hands both up to him as a symbol, a gesture of we're reaching out to you, Lord. We're reaching out to you because we need help. Because we're broken, hurting, confused, flawed, sinful, and we need your help to be able to have the right kind of heart. And I ask, Lord, for those who have raised their hands, that you would help us, Lord, to not be bitter at anybody, even those who have done the worst things to us. Help us to not be bitter. Help us to be forgiving. Help us to be wise, but help us to not be hard. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to begin to do the right things. We need to build the wall, Lord. We need to do the purposes that you've called us to do in our lives. But we need to do it in a way that our heart is that we want to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And we want to demonstrate love to your creation, the people that you have made. And we ask that you would help us to live that out in our lives. We give you glory and give you all the praise for any of the good that begins to come out of us, because nothing is good inside of us apart from what the Lord has put in there. And so we thank you for your work, and we ask that you would help us as we go to continue to live as you did on this earth, because we represent you. We are your ambassadors, as scriptures say. So help us to live the way you've called us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He is good, isn't he? Yes. And so let's go out there and show it. Thank you so much for being here with us next week, or this week. I said that last part in faith. But love you guys. Let's go and be what Jesus has called us to be. God bless you.